ready for the weekend. Greetings to all of Turdville. Turd Ferguson here. It's March the 6th. It's Friday, thankfully, March the 6th, 2015. Welcome back. Try to chuckle as we get started, because really that's all you can do, of course. Take all this too seriously, you'll absolutely put yourself in the nut house. You'll put you in a rubber room with one of those jackets with the sleeves, the ties in the back, and you can just sit there and drool and smile and look out the window. It doesn't sound half bad right now. If it came with a bar and a cold beer, that might be exactly what yours truly is looking for. Hey, look, it is what it is. We identified those pennants on the charts a couple of weeks ago. It was so painfully obvious what was going to happen. I kept holding out hope because, you and I don't know what the payroll number is going to be. And all the other ancillary details, all of the layoffs that have been announced by all the big corporations, the jobless claims, the ADP reports, all this stuff, at least led you to think that maybe it was going to come in a little lower than expected. And maybe those pennants wouldn't work out for the bad guys. Right, yeah, that's usually how it works, isn't it? And just like how they rode the 200-day moving average up until February BLSBS day, 4 weeks ago today, they painted things into that corner. I showed you yesterday how price was walked down every day this week, down $5 Monday, $4 Tuesday, $4 Wednesday, $5 yesterday, walked down that upper band of the pennant right into, precisely into the corner when the number was announced. Okay, 1197. Unbelievable how that worked. And to think that I foolishly held out hope that maybe we'd break higher. You'd think I'd be a little less naive after all this time. But it was clearly a setup from the word go. And we have proof of that now. I don't know if you saw this chart I posted earlier. I got it from Zero Hedge. This, we'll start with this today. This is a 1 second chart. 1 second candlestick chart. Now, if you're watching CNBS, you know, this was a little bit different. They had a big snowstorm in Washington, D.C., and so there was no Hampton Pearson. So when the bell went off at 8:30 Eastern, there was no headline. There was no number. Everybody were kind of scrambling. It was interesting to watch. Santelli was in Chicago looking at the big board in the pit. He had Leisman punching hit and refresh on his laptop. It was 8:30 and 10 seconds, 8:30 and 20 seconds, and nobody had the number. Finally, just right at about 8:31, 1 minute later, the data came trickling out. And Santelli saw it one place first, and he saw another, and then he went, oh my, yeah, 295. And then the fireworks took off. Look at this 1 second chart for all that you need to know that the fix was in from the word go. Because the algos clicked at the blue dashed line at precisely 8:30 and 0 seconds. The algos clicked in and trimmed $5 off of price in 15 seconds. Those aren't algos that are reading headlines. Those aren't algos that are, it's not a human trader that saw the information, the headlines, because it wasn't out yet. Those are algos that were pre-programmed to sell immediately at 8:30 and 0 seconds when the information hit the tape. Of course, we then came back over the course of that next minute and then got smashed immediately after the number actually hit. And look at the volume. Look at the 1 second volume at 8:31 and 12 seconds. 1,600 contracts in 1 second. But again, that whatever. The main thing you need to take away here is this was preordained. All this talk about, oh, no, that's not manipulated. No, I never, it's all random chance and coincidence. No, it's not. They painted those pennants, walked price right into the corner, and just as they did a month ago, smashed it to make it look as bad as possible from a technical standpoint, and it was set up to happen regardless. It was going to happen right at 8:30, and there is your proof, my friend. And now we had this huge, crazy day. The pig has rallied like crazy. It was just a week ago that I was pointing out to you the the breakout after a month, up through 95. We were up 1.3% today in the pig, 97.65. Huge move, 3% in a week. And the euro is falling apart, 108.5. It just broke 111, what, on Tuesday? And I pointed that out to you. I was like, uh-oh, here we go. And it's gone from 111 to 108.5. Just a hugely destructive move. Our friend Pining wrote an interesting comment in the previous thread, and I'm going to add it here as a link just to make sure you see it. He did a great job and clearly giving you a heads up that something pretty crazy is going on here. Big, massive breakdown in the bond market today. We'll talk about that chart in a second. And of course, the paper bugs aren't happy at all. The Dow is down about 300. The S&P was down about 30. The NAS, after finally getting back to 5,000, was down more than 1%. The HUI got smoked. We anticipated that, worried about that yesterday. The HUI got smoked 12 points or 7%. And of course, by the time it was all said and done, gold was the big loser. Gold down $30. 2.5%. Even worse than silver, if you can believe that. But of course, silver is pressing up against some pretty stout support. Silver down 30 cents, only 1.8%. Usually silver, when gold's down 2.5%, would be down 5%. If silver had been down 5% today, it would be down all the way down pushing 15. But it wasn't, thankfully. And crude was down too, and crude faced an interesting week next week as well. The main thing I want to point out to you, again, another chart from earlier today I want to make sure you saw. This is our old correlation of the yen and gold. And remember, they tracked each other almost perfectly for the back half of last year, only to break, have that correlation break when gold almost broke the physical paper connection in early November. That's your black and red crossing arrows on that chart. But then you'll notice what happened shortly thereafter is they began moving in tandem again, down into the end of the year, up into the end of January, and now back down. And I point this out to you because clearly the way the dollar's going, and the dollar now looks like it's going to 100 or maybe even 102, the yen is probably going to break those 82 lows, whatever that was, 122, 123. Highs from back in early December. If that happens, it's probably going to take gold with it. And that leads us to our first charts. I told you this morning, if you haven't read today's post, you better read it because the jig is now up. It's coming again. They set those pennants up to be broken today. And now look what we have. No longer do we have pennants, but we have a descending triangle. We have, and I try to clear these up for you to make this as clear and as simple as possible. I chose support for gold, somewhere around 1145. And I chose support for silver, really it's right around 1550, though maybe you could go a little bit lower, 1540. And now look, just as we could see those pennants 2 weeks ago and see price walking and closing right at the apex of those pennants today, BLSBS day, well, when will those these triangles close? Oh, give it about 8 or 10 days. And what happens in 8 days? That's the Fed lines of the next meeting. Can you see where we're being set up again to now not only break the uptrend that we're in, but now to break and even break the potential double bottom and break to new lows? We shall see, but you can clearly see that we may be very well be getting set up once again. Because said the HUI broke down. Again, this isn't news to anybody. We were following that. We're hoping against hope that it would find support and bounce off that 100-day moving average and support at 180. Wrong. I mean, with everything else down today, I mean, the HUI was definitely going to go down with it. Stocks down, gold down. HUI all the way down, like I said, 12 points, 7%, 167.50. What we have to hope for now is that black line. See the black line connecting the November lows and the December lows. If you extend that out, that puts it about 160. If you look at the RSI, you can already see how extremely oversold it is. So maybe there's a chance that we'll go down toward 160 as gold goes down to 1150 and as silver goes down to 1550. And at that point, silver will be about as oversold as it was back in November and even in October. And at that point, maybe it'll all be over with. We shall see. Your other charts that you have today, I want to point out to you. Like I said, we had a tremendous, huge move in the bond market today. 13 basis point upward move in the 10-year note, 12 basis point move in the long bond, putting them at 224 and 284 respectively. Yeah, the long bond future looks terrible, and it looks like it's going to go even lower, which means rates are going to go even higher. But to where? You'll notice on your long bond, your weekly long bond chart, there's two lines. There's a blue line. That's the one we'll want. I don't think we're going to stop at the blue line, but that's the line we're going to want to watch if we get a bounce off of the black line. And it is the black line that I think the long bond is headed to. It is the black line that it's definitely going to want to hold as support. Okay, if the trend toward lower rates is going to continue. That black line, currently around 141, if we were to trade down to that thing over the next week or two, that's going to move the long bond almost to exactly 3%. You can see that coming a mile away, can't you? And you would look for some support in the long bond at 3%. When it starts printing that. So I think at this point we got to look for, over the next couple of weeks, gold to continue to drop down toward 1145, 1150, silver to drop, finding support around 1550, and the long bond to drop down toward this 141, 142, and a yield of 3%. Coinciding with that, we got to watch the S&P. A false breakout up above 2100 and down. Right now, I've found support today at about 2065, where that blue line is on the S&P chart. I tell you what, though, with rates continuing to back up, liquidity concerns, all that kind of stuff, I think we're going to take out that blue line and probably make a stab back down there toward 2,000. That's only 3%, so it's not like, you know, some huge crazy thing. And I'm sure we'll get another Fed stick save from there. But just a heads up for you, anybody trading stocks out there. And again, just a quick, your final two charts are just a quick look at the dollar and the euro over the last 12 months. Again, the red line on there is where we spotted the breakout a week ago. Breakout it has. And the red line on the euro chart is where we spotted the breakdown also a week ago. And then we noticed it actually happened on Tuesday. Again, both of those are looking to continue to extend their moves. And that's going to obviously work against gold over the next 7 or 8, 10 days as well. So there's all the good news. Okay, let's take a second. I'll give you some COT numbers because, you know, that is actually kind of good news in a sense. The COT has been officially all rinsed out. And again, this is as of Tuesday. You can only imagine how the COT looks tonight after today, because I promise you, this was a day of long liquidations and brand new spec shorting. So I give you these COT numbers, but I mean, these don't mean a lot because the picture has changed dramatically in the last 3 days. But again, as of back on Tuesday for the COT week, gold was actually up. That sounds weird to say, doesn't it? And what was going on internally while that was happening? The large specs trimmed their net long position by more than 10,000 contracts. And gold cartel, the gold commercials, trimmed their net short position by 12,000 contracts. So now, at least as of last Tuesday, the large spec net long position was back down to 116,000 contracts. I say back down because at its peak, when the banks were naked shorting like crazy to cap the January rally, back on January 27th, that large spec net long position got to 189,000 contracts. And as of Tuesday, it was back to 116. Why is 116 important? Because at the lows 2-3 months ago on December the 30th, when price was almost exactly in the same spot, 1185, the net long position of the large specs in gold, 116,000 contracts. What did I say it was last Tuesday? 116,000 contracts. What it is tonight? Probably under 100. Where was it back in November when they really tried to wash us out and almost broke the market? 60,000 contracts. So could you say it could go farther? Yeah, I suppose, and it probably will in the next week to 10 days. Okay. Silver caught. Same thing. The large specks in silver during a caught week where silver was up. Okay. And we had to deal with expirations of the March contract. Caught week in silver, the large specks dumped 1,000 longs, but added 5,100 shorts. The net position of the large specks in silver is back down to 31,000 contracts. End of January, it was 53,000 contracts. When it was 53,000 contracts, the net long ratio of the large specs, which we followed forever here, was a terrifically bearish 5.3 to 1. And we even shuddered at the time at, oh, God, it's 5.3 to 1. That's terrible. Now, as of last Tuesday, 2.2 to 1. In fact, you look at the large spec silver position, it's almost identical in size and ratio to where it was on December the 30th when price was right here at $1,560. No kidding, really? Check this out. Again, as of last Tuesday, the large spec net long position was 31,000 contracts. Back on December 30th, it was 30,000 contracts. The difference between in the gross position, the large specs are now long 2,000 more. And short, 1,000 more than they were on December 30th. So basically identical. You want to talk about the wash, rinse, and repeat cycle there. There you go, boy. Still has a ways to go to get back down to where it was in November. But again, after a day like today, I'm sure we're making progress. And just one other thing to note. The small specs last week, during the last caught week, remember that stat that Andy gave us a long time ago about 90%? Of the small traders in silver completely blow themselves up and wipe out all their margin within the first 90 days? Okay. Last week, the caught week, Wednesday to Tuesday, the small specs increased their net long position in silver by nearly 4,000 contracts. So they were buying and covering like crazy all the way up through Tuesday and probably Wednesday and Thursday as well. And they got the shit kicked out of them today. And I laugh. God, I hope that's none of you because you're probably pissed at me for laughing. But man, this is why you don't jack with the casino, boy. Wow. That's remarkable. The silver commercials, because the large specs did so much buying, they were only able to decrease their net short position by 2,400 contracts. It's now 40,000 contracts net short, down from a peak of 62,000 at the end of January. And going back to December 30th, it was 39,000. So, again, I don't need to bore you with even more numbers, but that just to show you, that's where we are. We are completely washed and rinsed. That was as of Tuesday, and it's even more so now. Again, it's going to be a no fun next couple of weeks. They're going to try to break price when the Fed lines are announced a week from Wednesday. We're probably going to bounce again. Now, they almost broke, as you know, the paper physical connection when price got down that far in November. They had to find some gold. Remember, GOFO, historically negative. They had to find some gold, and that's why price bounced off of there and shot up from 1130 to 1305, right? Huge move in a couple of months. Okay, who's not to say they haven't found some gold? That's why that story that we talked about yesterday about HSBC closing those vaults. Just another way these banks are finding gold, right? All right. So that doesn't mean that just because there was a paper physical floor at 1130 or 40 back in November, that doesn't mean there still has to be one. In the absence of having GOFO, how are we going to even know? So they may take it down on the 8th and they may bust it through there and we may go to 1050. At the time, I've been telling you all year, I didn't think it would happen. Hell, I've written all kinds of stuff about the bottom is in and all that kind of stuff. And I may end up looking like a complete idiot again. I'd like to think I won't. The cot structure, especially what the cot structure will be in another 8 days, I'm going to be working in our favor, helping me to perhaps not look like a fool. Maybe we will bounce. I say there's a better chance of that than there was of getting a positive resolution of our penance. But We'll just have to see how it all plays out over the next 8 days, 8 market days. Okay. As we wrap up, let me give you some reading material for the weekend. First, a great little summary of today's BLSBS from our friend Denver Dave. I encourage you to read it. He quickly points out what a fraud it all is. Again, I mean, as I mentioned earlier, all of the job cuts, all of the shale oil stuff, everything, none of that, none of the actual stuff gets taken because it's not an actual survey. How can they crank out an accurate assessment of February jobs on the 5th of frickin' March? It's all just statistical bullshit. It's all just, well, here's what's happened in the past, and so we'll massage these numbers for seasonal adjustments, and then 295,000. And everybody runs with it, like that's really what happened. Well, as Denver Dave points out, that's a joke. And it is a joke. So anyway, read Denver Dave's article. Next, I said there's the thing from Pining that he wrote, just a short comment, but it talks about the dollar, has a great chart. I would encourage you to click that link. Next, an article I found at Zero Hedge from Charles Hugh Smith talking about we are at the end game where increasing the debt does not increase GDP growth or anything else. So an interesting article from that Charles Hugh Smith guy. Andy was on King World News today. I don't know what he said. I haven't talked to him and I haven't listened to it. And of course, Eric, I'm sure, doesn't have the audio posted yet either. Maybe sometime by next week he will. But anyway, then your fourth link on this page is the link to King World News where you can see what Andy had to say today. And then there's a great article. Now, I don't want to give it the complete 100% thumbs up because I haven't had a chance to actually read it word for word. I skimmed it. I went, oh, this looks interesting. And I was seeing the guy's major points, you know, kind of speed read. And I went, this is pretty good. So I'm not going to give it to you and say, this is the guy, this is exactly what I believe. But from skimming it, it looked pretty good. It's from the Automatic Earth blog. And it's about the neo-fascists and neo-Nazis in Ukraine. And I would encourage you to read that as well. No doubt about it. So there's five good links for you. And lastly, a link back to, I had a couple people email me today asking for that video from when Raoul Paul was on CNBC in early November saying that if the DXY, the dollar index, the POSX, if it went through 90, that the four horsemen of the apocalypse were going to be riding over the horizon. Okay, that was back in early November when the POSX was like 85. Well, shit, it not only to go through 90, what I say it was today, 97 and a half. So a lot of people looking for that clip. Your last link of six at the bottom of this page is the clip to the post that I wrote back in November with that clip embedded. So please take a look at that. I don't know. Maybe Raoul Powell is the biggest dumbass in the world and he's just making shit up, you know, trying to scare people. Or maybe the four horsemen are just kind of coming over the horizon and you can't see them yet. Maybe. All right. Look, I know this sucks. Because it sucks. It does suck. I've been doing this shit for 5 years. And I don't know how I keep my sanity, but I'm trying. I am optimistic, though. As frustrating as this is, it's a moment in time. And I am optimistic that as we go through the year, the physical demand, the offtake to China, this new thing that Andy's talked about. That's not live yet. Okay, let's give that some time and let's let that affect the market for a little while. I'm optimistic. I still think by the end of this year, we're going to look back and go, whoa. And days like today will be not necessarily forgotten, but they won't, you know, they won't be stinging like they are right now. But I know it's exhausting because I'm exhausted. To that end, I will be around all of next week. Next week will be a normal week around here. We've got an A to A scheduled with David Morgan, and it will be a regular week. The following week, though, everybody says, Turd, you got to take a break. So I am going to take a break. It will be spring break, and LT number one and I are going to be spending quite a bit of time that following week, the week of the FOMC meeting, the week of March the 16th. LT number one and I are going to spend a lot of time looking at colleges. So I will be somewhat scarce that week. Okay. Not next week, Next week, we're all in the barrel together. And again, I would expect a continued downward pressure on price as we build toward a kind of climactic moment, most likely coming on the 18th. Oh my God, 25 minutes. Well, thanks for listening. I guess I've covered pretty much everything I wanted to tell you. And I just would encourage you at this point to keep your eye on the bigger picture and not get caught up in the games. I go through what I do, all this stuff, the stress that I live on a daily basis of monitoring all this, basically 24/7 with a few hours of sleep every day, because my goal is to continue to show you, impress upon you how fixed this is, how manipulated it is. Because if you were to look at, if you were to listen to Armstrong or any of these clown joker jackasses that don't believe in the that don't, you know, they're out there telling you that, oh, it's all just free and fair, everything's fine. It'd be pretty easy to be disheartened. But I believe 100%, no doubt in my mind, in what I have told you and over the last 5 years. And it will eventually all come to fruition. It will. And you just got to stay in there. You got to stay patient. You've got to recognize it for what it is. And that's why I continue to do what I do, so that it continues, what it is, stays immediately in front of you. And so when we go through this process, like we have in the last 2 weeks, of these closing pennants and price being painted and walked down into that corner, that you can sit back. And then when you see what happened on a second by second basis today and go, oh, fuck, these guys, this is just criminal. And if you know it's criminal, you know eventually it's going to end. But if you think instead it all just happens by chance and coincidence and it's free market, I could see where you just give up. And I don't want you to give up, because again, I'm 100% confident in where this is all headed. What I don't know is how soon it's going to get there. And so we'll just keep working at it together and see each other through it. All right. Thank you for listening. Come back on Monday and we'll keep living the dream. In the meantime, though, I would suggest you do what I'm about to go do. Find yourself your favorite adult beverage. Dump one down your mullet. Dump one down your mullet. Yeah. Dump one. And, you know, really, you could just dump it over your head and wash your mullet with your favorite adult beverage. Drop it down your mullet. Anyway, go have a nice weekend and come back on Monday and we'll just see what happens next. Till we meet again, this is your humble correspondent, Turd, signing off, and I'm out.